Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this 13th day of March 2022. I'm up at Mount Madonna right now doing my usual work. Well, maybe not usual, but my unusual work at a retreat that is very important. We're doing the reveal and understanding what it means to allow ourselves to fast from the human heart, the emperor of all malice. And I think it is very hard for people to understand their emperor, their human heart, because they think it's what brings them all their good and stuff and all their love and stuff, all the things they think are essential to being who they really think they are. And it's only a matter of the premise of who I think I am that becomes the cornerstone of my life and the meaning of my life, but that's the way it is. The human heart is capable of so many, many ugly things. It is only the authentic heart, the heart of love, that brings forth great goodness and beauty into our life. What I call beyond good, it's significance. And to me, significance is more than good. That's all I know how to say. You know, I don't have any other words for it. Significance is everything. So we're going to be looking at today. We're not at Mount Madonna. Well, you're not. I am. But today, due to the magic of recording and podcasts and everything, we're going to be looking at change, how the world has changed. And, you know, young people don't see the change. How can they? They are a part of it. They're in the throes of it. And they look at, let's say, my world, boomer world, and they think, you know, that was really stupid. I talk to millennials and Gen Xers, Gen Yers, and you ask them things like, do you know who the Beatles were? And some say, yeah, we heard of them, and they don't like their music. And then you ask them, did you ever hear of the Jefferson Airplane or Linda Ronstadt? I asked one recently and no idea who I was talking about. So, you know, we look at that as boomers. We look at that and go, oh boy, you never had the music. You never knew what was really going on, blah, 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 blah. All baloney. Everything is baloney there. So what does change mean? It means the same thing to all of us. When you're young, it's entering into the unknown, and it's exciting, it's wonderful, it can be thrilling, and that's the way it should be. I understand that. It's all a matter of perception and the posture of perception. And then for other people, like I was talking to my cousin recently, and she said, Greg, I just don't like change at all. And I said, I agree, I understand, I do. Because Greg, the human Greg, doesn't like it either. But we live in a world of impermanence. Everything is changing. Whether you like it or not, whether you think it's right or not, it is changing. And it is up to us to move with that change, to fall into harmony with it. One of my dearest friends that I've known since I was, 10 years old, 8 years old in that area, said to me, why do you keep working? And he's long been retired. And I told him, to me, retirement is retardation. I don't want to be, what do I want to say? I don't want to be the kind of person that just sits and rots in their lazy boy chair and watching TV all day. I can't imagine it. I keep very busy. I'm in my 71st year in this world, and I still keep a very vigorous schedule, and I do lots of work, and I do it for the sake of the unfoldment, and that's really what it's all about. I want to keep unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. The flower always is unfolding within us all, and I don't want to stall that off. So, you know, as far as change is concerned, a lot of people think that you work real hard, you live in your life, and then somehow you retire and then what do? You morph into what? Into a change of what? What is that change? Well, I get emails about change. A lot of people don't like changes. So I thought, wow, I had three or four that came up last month, and I thought, there is something going on. People are recognizing there's great change in this world, and that these changes are not necessarily what they think of as for the good, based on whether or not they're a Gen Yer, Gen Xer, millennial, baby boomer. It all depends. So here are a couple of questions that I got. The first one comes from Carol in Colorado. She says, how do I deal with a world that is changing faster than I can keep up? And then she goes into political things that I won't get into because I'm not a political guy and I don't know my ass from a political whatever in a I just don't know it from a hole in the wall. Anyway, I have no idea what politically is going on in the world. I keep up with the news a little bit, but you know, not enough to make a dent in my intellect. Keeping up with the world. I don't even know, Carol, what that means. And it's a very good question that you raise. What does it mean to keep up with the world? Well, what are we doing? What does that mean? Keep up with the wars? We've always had wars. When I was a little boy, they had wars all the time. Korea, then Vietnam, yada, yada, yada. That went on and on and on. What do you mean keep up? Keep up with the trends, the music, the social changes? Well, you know, all of that is the pedestrian mentality's concern. And you've got to see that for what it is. And here's what I would suggest to you. You've got to live in the evolution of your being. I have a saying that I give to people. They roll their eyes and think I'm, you know, nuttier than a fruitcake, which I probably am. But let love live you. Don't let society live you. Don't try to fit into society. As I said to my cousin, it's all about love, so love never changes. It just unfolds constantly. And some people look at that as a change, but to me, it's about a flower that is unfolding constantly. And it never goes dormant. It never dies. It just constantly blooms from one color to another, from one fragrance to another, from one thing to another. It's all about love. And when a person has kind of attached themselves to their ego and to the emperor of all malice, they don't want that change. Everybody's looking for security, things that they can depend upon mentally and emotionally, that they know how to handle and know how to deal with, and to get their life back to the emperor, the human heart. It's comfort zone, and everything revolves around the comfort of the ego. That's really what it's all about. But the ego is the voice of the human heart, the emperor of all malice. So if you're looking for things to stay the same so your emperor can feel, shall we say, adequate and in control of your life, you're going to find a great disappointment in your living because everything is going to change. The human ego will not be able to necessarily keep up with it. There will be things that you will have to accept that you will maybe find unacceptable. Most people do, and then they get caught in the quagmire of all of this and make a mess out of their life. Absolute mess. So what can I say to you but let love live you? And if that ever occurs within you, if you ever start to see that for what it is, then you will find out that this is not about social problems. We've always had issues in this world, social problems with all sorts of political and economical issues, our finances, our, you know, the color of our skin, all these things mean so much to the feudal and people who have given themselves over to the feudal. So I say to you, Carol, unfold. Find that which lives within you that never dies. Find that which is love that never dies. Let it unfold. Let it be a blessing. Let it be beautiful. Let love, and find it, live you. That's all I can say. I don't know if that helps you. You know, this is why I ask you to forgive me. Because there are a lot of questions that many of you ask that have no words for the answer. It's not a matter of words. And even when I give you the best words I can find to convey a meaning, it still doesn't convey the meaning because the unspeakable is there. The things that can't be spoken about or have no words to them. And all great teachers find this. The Buddha found it in his Dhammapada and his Heart Sutra in the Diamond Sutra. And the same thing is true with Jesus. He did it so beautifully with the Beatitudes. So, you know, blessed are the meek. You know, who wants to be meek? People always find a way to misunderstand the meaning of teachings. So anyway, I say this to you, Carol. I hope in some way you could read between my words. The spaces, the gaps. That's where the meaning is. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last one comes from Harold in San Diego. He often writes me. What if I can't change, he says. What if I'm mentally incapable of changing? Will meditation help that? Harold. I've known Harold for years. No, Harold, it is, you're not. Meditation changes everything, but you know as well as I know, you're not going to meditate because, as you had told me so many times, you don't believe in meditation, and it's too hard for you, as you say, to step back from your thoughts and yada da yada da, all the things that you constantly throw at me as an excuse not to meditate. So I say this to you because there are probably many people listening who have the same issues as well. You got to start somewhere. You got to sit down with yourself and start in small increments to sit in a room just quietly for a few moments in total silence. Let your mind do what it does. You can't change it. You can't stop it. Just let it go through you. Don't get enamored with it. Don't get hooked on it. Just observe your thoughts like you would clouds floating in the sky, as we say, and just observe them. But don't get involved in them. Don't like them. Don't dislike them. Stop talking to your thoughts. Stop talking to your mind. Just for a few moments, sit quietly and don't do that. Hey, Doc, it hurts when I do that. Don't do that. Henny Youngman, old joke. So that's what you need to do, and that's how you begin the practice. But please understand, if you don't achieve this, you're right. You're going to come to a point where you become obsolete. And in that obsolescence of mind, you're going to find yourself bogged down with thoughts that have nothing to do with the meaning of your life. And that, my friend, is a very important thing to take a deep and profound look at. I'm out of here. Thank you, Harold, for your beautiful question, and I hope you're doing well. Please forgive me. Namaste. Thank you for listening. back on the air next week. Hopefully you'll be listening. If you ever have a question, you know where to get me, greg@aspire.org. That's my email, greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful one. And once again, as always, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.